Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Q2 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Joshi from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Joshi.
Thanks a lot. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers, I welcome you all to Agrotech Foods Limited 2Q FY18 earnings conference call. We have with us on the call senior management of the company, represented by Mr. Sachin Gopal, Managing Director, and Mr. Arijit Datta, CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Sachin. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Aditya, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking the time out to be with us on the call today. We'll give you a perspective on the quarter, and then we'll take the Q&A as usual. To start with, as you would have seen from the results, net sales were down about 2% for the quarter versus prior year. At a broad level, it seems that we are stabilizing nicely relative to the GST implementation starting 1st July. In fact, cumulatively for the year, for the first four months, we were at about a 96 index in July, about a 97 in August, and ended up with a 98 index for the first six months of the year, which is similar to the performance for the quarter as well. In terms of performance by product line and channels, broadly speaking, both the traditional trade and the modern trade, I think, have returned to normalcy. In fact, on the foods business, we had a growth of about 20% in these channels. While we don't give any customer-wise data, the only channel, if you will, which continues to see the pains of GST, like any other, most of the other FMCG companies, remains those which are servicing government employees, if you will. That is CSD, but it's also a customer other than CSD. There are many other customers who service government employees, right? Including police and other employees. There, they are working through their own transitional pains. Those channels continue to be down. They are improving by the month, but we did lose business in those channels. On an aggregate level, therefore, this is how the quarter two performance stacks up. On sunflower oil, in terms of volume, we were down about 1%, and in terms of revenue, we were down 5% for this quarter. On peanut butter, we continue to see exceptional growth. Volumes were up about 109%, and revenue was up about 70% for the quarter. Peanut butter really clocking well. In all these, you will also see some impact between volume and revenue of the price increases that we passed on to the consumer as a consequence of benefits that we got on input tax credit, in line with the anti-profiteering guidelines. The ready-to-cook business performed well, again, in all channels other than these, if you will, alternate channels supplying government employees or stores servicing government employees. That was flat on volume and down about 3% on revenue. The ready-to-eat, the bagged snacks business grew by about 59% in volume and about 46% in revenue. Pretty much we continue to see very solid growth across all products like peanut butter, like bagged snacks, which have a very low dependence on these other channels, which are largely present and where growth is dependent on traditional trade and modern trade. Right? Those which have a higher contribution of CSD, CPG, those type of customers have seen an impact really where we've pretty much, in most cases, been able to negate the volume impact, but still there has been some impact in terms of both volume and value. Going forward, I suspect that this gap will start to narrow over the months as we proceed. In terms of Crisil, we had a volume decline of 2% and a revenue decline of 7%, and that's consistent with what we've seen in Crisil in the past. Edible oil prices, and I'll refer to that a little later, were lower in the first 6 months of the year, including the second quarter, And crystal normally serves as a good barometer, as I mentioned to you on past occasions as well. So if you look at the difference between crystal volume and crystal value, that gives you also some indication of what is the price impact as far as the overall edible oil market is concerned. And the vending business, this is pretty much flat for the quarter. That includes both the corn and the tortillas that we sell to the stores. And that pretty much summarizes it. So in total for the quarter, I think we were flat on volume and down about 2% on revenue, with growth being driven by pretty much the peanut butter business and the bagged snacks business, both growing at very high rates of 70% and 46% respectively. And the sundrop oils and ready-to-cook business, which had a greater dependence on the alternate channel, actually showing either a little decline or flattish, depending on the volume, whether you look at the volume figure or the value figure. And as a consequence, this was the net balance. Now, if you go into specifically in terms of margin, and margin, gross margin as we defined, which is net versus cost of goods, it's up by about 50 basis points versus last year. So it's about 26% versus about 25% in the prior year same quarter. And that really reflects the fact that while we did pass on a reasonable amount of money by way of the benefits of the input tax credit that we were getting, we also had softer edible oil prices, which is reflected in the crystal results that I talked about. So that helped to offset some of those gross margin losses, if you will, which we passed on to the consumer, right? So overall, therefore, the net of it was positive in terms of gross margin. And in terms of the food share of the business, that really crossed over into the third phase of our transformation. As you know, the phases of our transformation were the foods business going from 2% to 15%, 15 to 25, and then 25 to 50. And the foods share of the business moved up to about 27% in this quarter. So I think, and very solidly, meaning a blend of all three parts of our product line, which is ready-to-cook popcorn, peanut butter, bagged snacks, ready-to-cook, of course, being a little softer. And but seemingly, we are now in as far as in that 25 to 50% range. Okay. That was the composition of both the top line and the gross margin. If you go further down the P&L, you will see that our advertising and promotion expenses were lower by about 3 crores versus prior year, right? So that's 10.8 crores versus about 13.8 crores in the last year, same quarter. This reflects two things. One is out of this 3 crore gap, there is about probably a crore, maybe a little less, a gap, which is on account of the fact that prior year includes service tax, right, which we could not claim benefit on since, you know, we were largely in the non-excisable area of low excise rate. And this year, all of that service tax we've received, which we in turn have passed on in the GST scenario on to consumers, right, which has also given us the volume gains that we needed. On a comparable basis, the prior year figure of 13.8 probably needs to be looked at somewhere around 12.8 to 13 crores. The balance is the media that we reduced as a consequence of the lower sales in these alternate channels, if you will. And we moderated it because, you know, this is certainly business that was not going to come this quarter. And as and when this business recovers, we will simply reinstate this money. And you can expect to see, therefore, that the gap between prior year and this year will start to close and as we go forward. This is not too dissimilar from what we did in quarter one. The reinstatement will happen, I suspect, over the next 3 to 4 quarters. Other than that, therefore, the profit before exceptional items and tax is therefore up to about 13.3 crores from about 8.7 crores. So that's up about 54%, right? And that gap obviously narrows as you move to profit before tax, because profit before tax includes a one-time income tax refund that we received from the government of India last year in quarter two, right? So that was about 4.2 crores. And if you calculate the EBITDA, that's gone up probably by about 20%, right? And we are now around in the 9-odd percent range as far as this quarter is concerned. Last year was in the region of about, overall for the year was about 7 to 8%, I think, and last year same quarter was about 7%. So we are absolutely headed in the right direction as we work our way towards our medium-term goal of crossing into a 10% EBITDA margin and getting into the next leg of our transformation. Okay. In terms of the balance results, profit after tax is visible to you. It's up about 19%. And as far as the notes to the accounts are concerned, those really reflect all the changes as a consequence of Indus, and those are, I think, reasonably self-explanatory in the table. In terms of competitive activity, we continue to see a reasonably good level of competitive activity. I'll share with you the investment by our competitors in each of these categories, which is in snacks, edible oils, and spreads. So in the snacks category, we still don't have September data, but for the months of July and August, the category was in the range of about 24, 25 crores per month, right? The biggest spenders in the category continue to be IDC with Bingo, which in August probably accounted for about 40% of total spend. Frito-Lay has now started investing behind Doritos. We continue to be in a very strong position in tortilla chips, right? They spent about 3 crores in August, and we spent about 1.5 crores both months in July and August on a steady state, meaning in each month, right? Other than that, I would say there's not much to report as far as the snacks category is concerned. In terms of the spreads category, that has seen, like last year, a continued increase in activity, but looking good. I think Patanjali, in fact, in August was the largest spender in the category. They spent about 9.5 crores on Patanjali honey. That was followed by Kisan, which spent about 3.5 crores, and Dabur, which spent about 3 crores. We continue to be spending at about 60 to 70 lakhs a month, so our investment is steady. And the new players really who are now starting to spend money are Pillsbury, Zenonos, and Hershey, who are also spending in the region of about 60 to 70 lakhs per month. In terms of oils, this has seen a fairly significant increase of all the three categories which we track. It has seen the most significant increase in spending. August, in fact, was a record 60 crores spent in a single month. The largest spender was Patanjali. They spent about 19 crores in the month. Imami was next at about 13 crores. Safola was at about 6.5 crores for the month. And we were spending about 50 lakhs as per our plan. So overall, I would say nothing significant to report, but all categories in reasonably good shape. As you know, we are committed to spending behind our snacks and our spreads category, and continue to moderate our spending in the edible oils category. Overall, therefore, where have we ended the first year? We've ended the first year with about 95 crores of food sales. If you recall, last year the full year was about 170 crores, right? And so I think we will be chasing a number of, I would say, probably close to about 200 crores in FY18, which we seem to be in reasonably good shape for. And if we do that, we'll get into that 18 to 20% growth on our foods business. Which is a good benchmark, because once we start to get into a steady state, 18 to 20% growth, then we can start to look at the 30s and the 40s of the world, as I've already told all of you in earlier calls. And as far as new launches are concerned, we continue to bring new products to the table. So we've had new offerings both in the snacks range with the launch of Active Caramel Plus, and we'll also be coming out with one more new product in the peanut butter range. Peanut butter is already doing well, but we need to continue to be innovative to stay ahead of the curve and therefore maintain our clear leadership position. I think I've covered pretty much everything. Is there anything else you think I need to mention? No. Okay. So I think we're done. Ma'am, you can go ahead and you can open it up to questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Percy Pantaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Before I start my questions, just needed a clarification. This quarter, the sales growth looks very different due to GST-related accounting issues, and a lot of companies are actually giving us a like-for-like comparable number for sales growth. So would you be able to do that, sir?
Okay, what's the second question, Percy?
Yeah, so other questions I have is, one is, can you give us an idea of what all are the plants under process, I mean, work in progress in terms of construction, and when are they expected to come online? And with that, hopefully we should have a full national footprint and then go more aggressive on the bag snacks. That is question one. And secondly, on this ramp up of your food journey, you have reached 27%. In the next 2 to 3 years, what kind of a number should we be looking at?
Okay, thank you, Percy. Thank you. So I've also seen the commentary, Percy, and you know I understand that the need to, in a scenario where there is one specific channel which is underperforming because of its own complexity, to provide more data. But as a policy, we don't really share any channel or customer data. So I try to keep it as broad as possible because we don't think it's in shareholder interest, right? But broadly speaking, I'll give you a number in terms of these alternate channels, right? Which is CSD, CPC, cooperatives, etc.
Sir, I think you have misunderstood my question. What I meant was not channel-wise. What I meant is that on account of GST, when you have an input credit which was getting stuck in the pre-GST era and now it is available and then you pass it on to the consumer, the sales looks optically lower. So adjusted for that effect, what is the like-for-like comparable sales figure? That is what I was asking.
Okay, sorry for that. Okay. So I think, Nestle had given a figure of about 150 basis points, thereabouts, right, in terms of the like-for-like comparison. I think you can take that probably our figure is in the same ballpark. Yeah. Okay?
All right. You're saying I should increase your sales growth by 150 basis points.
Yeah, that's right. But I think the difference is a little more complex because you are looking at that is on an ongoing basis, okay? But in terms of these alternate channels, the sales that we would have lost in these channels, because these channels underperformed relative to last year, would be in the region of about 500 basis points.
Understood.
Okay. So if you take 500 basis points on net sales of about 200 crores, something like that, that will come to about 8 or 10 crores, something like that is the ballpark, right?
Fair enough. So the
first one, which is kind of the Nestle type of example, is more on a steady state basis. The second one is obviously is more on immediacy in terms of the quarter, and you know how quarter three and quarter four will look like. They'll obviously look different because you know they will, all these channels will learn to adapt to the new system, but it is taking them time. Okay, right.
Yeah.
In terms of the plant wise progress, we are now operating with 5 plants. So you know those I'll repeat just for everybody's benefit. What's running? It's Uttarakhand, it's Gujarat, it's UP, it's Andhra Pradesh, and it's Assam. And we have a 6th plant under construction in Chittoor in Andhra. That is to service, but you know, to service Andhra, but I think primarily to service both Tamil Nadu and Karnataka. Our expectation in terms of that plant is that when we'll be sitting at this time next year, the plant would have gone into production. Okay, it's not like all our most of our other projects. We don't go into a huge big bang, but it should be producing, enabling us to do a very deep down thrust both into Tamil Nadu and Karnataka. Kerala only to a limited extent, because you can do it on Google Maps. The difference from Chittoor to Kerala is still significant. Right? So maybe some towns in Kerala, but not all. Okay. In terms of the ramp up of the food journey, I think I'll have to sort of, you know, work around the comments that I made earlier. I think if once we have our quarterly call in April of 2018, if we are if we, you know, reach that 20% mark, which is, you know, running roughly in the region of about 200 crores, then I think our ambition will be certainly to take it up next year to start again looking at about a 30% growth. Right? We've always said that we've had to for the last 2-3 years. Absorb a lot of cost of capital and that we've invested, right? And I think if we get to that 20-odd% this year, it's going to look good. And certainly, we would be looking at growth next year then. On once we've achieved that, and the next goal obviously will be to look at about a 30-odd% growth. And then when we get there, we'll look at higher number. But first, let's just get to the 20% level, demonstrate that it's done, it's steady over several quarters, and then we'll be in a position to say, yes, we are here, and we're going to get to the next stage.
Thank you very much.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Anuj Gupta from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Anuj, we are not able to hear you. Can you speak a bit louder?
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Sorry to interrupt, but Anuj, your voice is breaking up.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the current participant seems to have dropped off. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Mayur Palkaria from Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for taking my question. Sir, just one small question I had. Sir, any thoughts on, sir, anyways, when we look at the annual report, we discuss the performance of the food business separately over there, in terms of even the product categories, the snacks and the spreads and like that, and edible oils. So any thoughts on, giving a segmental reporting, separating the edible oil and the food business?
Okay. And what's the second question here?
Yeah, so that was the only question right now.
Okay. So, these are all independent segments, right? You've got, say, ready-to-cook popcorn, ready-to-eat popcorn, we've got peanut butter, we've got, bag snacks, so tortilla chips, so on and so forth, right? So at this point in time, we don't really see a need for a segment reporting. However, if you go back into all the calls, and including in our shareholder meeting, I think we are happy to answer all the questions and provide you all the details that you seek.
No,
so we will provide
food category at the general level, food category one segment and then edible oils at the second, at least that way. Does it not come under, from a regulatory standpoint, don't we hit the the way we look at internal reporting, also the way we will look at threshold sales, so just trying to understand
Yeah, Mayuti, if you go back to our notes that we have given for Ind AS, we have also reported that we have identified only one segment as food segment.
Right.
And so the segment reporting also as per the new Ind AS requirement is as how management sees the reporting, and as management we see the reporting, so see the entire segment as foods. You can see our note number 2 in the
I understand. So just as a matter of exploration, I was saying, any thought on giving that as a separate
The answer is no. And also, as I've already given you the details, the results have been shown in the way management sees it. Okay? So meaning, we've shown you for Sundrop, we've shown you for Crystal, we've shown you for ready to cook popcorn, we've shown you for peanut butter. So that's consistent. Okay?
So on the margin side, how do they both...
That's why I always say you give us the 2 questions together. The follow-up, we'll do it, but please, next time, just give us both questions together. You go ahead this time, but just try and I'll do my best. I apologize for it, but go ahead.
We'll take it next time. No, sir, on the margin side, how do they stack up? If you have to break the overall margins into broadly, just the stacking, how it will be?
So basically, our margins, our total company margin is in the region of about 26% odd, as we've already said. The Chanda Vegetable Oil business gives a margin which is a little better than that, right? So that comes in the region of about 29-30%. The snacks business, the peanut butter businesses, all these are additive to margin, and that's the strategy, because that's how we're going to increase our margin as we gradually gain operating leverage, which is, for example, now very visible in peanut butter, right? Because the volumes have now become significant and the plant is running at a very, very good capacity level, right? So the only underperformer in the margin is really the crystal business, right? So the crystal business, which accounts for about 15-20% of our business, that's the only underperformer in terms of margin, which is in low single digit. So if you do the math, the combination of this will give you the average margin that we mentioned earlier, which is in the region of 26%.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry to push you back on that. So anyway. Okay. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Gupta from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Anuj, we are not able to hear you.
Hello.
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, go ahead.
So I've got three questions with me, so I'll just try to club it up. Sir, could you please share the revenue breakup for the branded food vending business and also for Crystal? And there would be like the data regarding the distribution reach and number of stores for branded food, namely popcorn, peanut butter, natural. To your best estimate, we know that you don't buy Nielsen data, so just to your best estimate. And regarding the ad spend, so like we are consistently seeing lower ad spend year-on-year basis. So will it continue to fall in the coming time? And also regarding the ad spend breakup.
Thank you, Anish. I'm glad we finally managed to get you online. All right. So in terms of the revenue for the quarter, the revenue, if you see, was in the region of about 197 crores. Of that, about 28 crores came from Crystal, and about 2.5 crores came from the vending business. So the vending business is really now a relatively small part of our business, right? And Crystal also, as a percentage, is reducing, which is consistent with our long-term strategic plan that we need to be getting a better contribution from higher margin products, because that's how our margin will improve. In terms of distribution, we've had a good progress this year. We started off, I think, with about, if I work with the distributor level, we started off with about 650 distributors this year for all our products. We added, I think, more than 130 distributors in the first half of the year. Right? So that's a reflection of the widening portfolio, because our portfolio offering is now getting more and more robust. We have a large number of products which are making decent margin and good margin at the top, but we also now are having an increasing number of products which are able to compete at the 5 rupee price points, as we've got our manufacturing plant streamlined. Now, this is an important piece, because if you look at the market and you see that the largest part of the growth of the market has come, it's at that 5 rupee price point. But the 5 rupee price point, we don't believe has any long-term profitability, and neither are the financial results, even they will be evident to you as well, of companies which compete primarily at 5 rupee price point. There is no margin to speak of, because you cannot. There is no pricing power. You are dependent on wholesalers. And pricing power only comes when you do actual large-scale retailing operation, because that is how you move up the consumer through distribution and display of better products with a better value, with a better proposition and a more unique proposition to the consumer. So I would say, we'll have to rely on best estimates, as you correctly observed. We don't buy data, but probably we would have added about in the first half about 20 to 30,000 stores in terms of our direct coverage. If I look at the distributor data and our shipment data of 5 rupee packs, because remember, we've got almost 45% growth in revenue on the bag snacks business, and a very big part of that has come actually from 5 rupees, but it's also come from the 20 rupees and the 30 rupees and the 60 rupee price points. So it's very balanced, and that's important for us, right? Because it's a tunnel. It's a dead end if you actually concentrate on 5 rupee products. It's a dead end because there's no hope of margin. You may get turnover. You will get turnover. Getting turnover, growing 30-40% at the bottom of the pyramid is no problem at all in today's environment. But there's no route to profit. Ditto with competing only at 20 and 30 rupees, because you simply don't get the scale. And because you don't get the scale, you're not able to do the distribution. So there's no hope of growth. But put together, when the two coexist together, particularly with a nice portfolio including peanut butter, ready-to-cook popcorn, other things, you start to, you know that you can grow business, you can grow turnover also, and you can grow profitability also. I think the numbers for the three products, which is peanut butter and the bagged snacks and ready-to-cook popcorn certainly would be in the region of about 250,000 stores now, out of those 3.5 odd lakhs that we cover. Peanut butter probably has crossed 50,000, probably. Maybe it's getting to be, in the 55,000-60,000 range. And that's nice, just rolling out, meaning, because it's still relatively small business, probably in a sub 50,000 stores, but it will probably accelerate very quickly. We have a lot of that growth is coming from wholesale. We actually are not, we're not able to track that, because when we sell in retailers, we still have an estimate. But we will try and refine it and figure a better way of answering your question. In terms of the A&P level, the A&P spend is lower this year, both for the 3 months and for the first half, right? And that's largely because the alternate channels, give us lower business. It seems to be a one-time effect, but we also have to, we are committed to sustained and profitable growth. I have said in the last call that I expect that on a full year basis, we should be able to return back to where we were, with the difference only being meaning the service tax. So if you take last year's A&P level, including service tax, and let's assume that, the impact of service tax was about 1 crore this quarter. If you assume that it's again another crore another crore per quarter for the next 2 quarters. So let's say on a full year basis, say between 2.5-3 crores, something like that. Lower last year's figure by that much, put in this year's figure, and you should probably have roughly in the same area. Let's see how it goes. As business comes back in October, in November, in December, because it is going to happen and there is continued improvement in these channels, we will continue to reinvest in the business, right? So we remain committed to the right level of spending, and we recognize the fact that if we are in a quarter or 2 quarters for very good reasons, spending less than we would have liked to, then we will have a plan for reinstating that, so that on an ongoing basis we are in the right region in terms of our advertising and promotion spending. Okay.
So sorry, I couldn't get the revenue breakup for the popcorn business and other. I just got for Crystal and vending.
So you, Anuj, you asked for Crystal and vending, so those are the two I gave you. Okay. All right. Okay, so it's 28 crores for Crystal and 2.5 crores for vending in this quarter. Okay.
If you could share for the branded food like peanut butter also.
So, we'd like that. Okay, let me, once again, so the actual business, the consumer business, will be a little under 40 crores for the quarter, and the peanut butter business will be in excess of 10 crores, right, for the quarter. So basically for the half year, peanut butter would already have crossed about, 20 odd crores, and, so we see, yeah, that's right. Or the peanut butter will be about 20 odd crores for the half year, and the actual consumer business will also be in total. I won't be able to give you exact split between ready to cook, so on and so forth, because that's a lot of competitive information, but it's in the region of about 70 crores for the half year, for the consumer business alone, right? That excludes the vending business, which will be about 6 crores. Yeah?
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and 1. We leave the next question from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Most of the questions have been answered. Just two more from my side. Sir, what would be your contribution from the wholesale channel to your sales, number one? And second is, during the demonetization time, the quarter was managed well. So I would assume that the relative dependence would be lesser on the wholesale channel. So what went wrong this time in this quarter?
Thank you. And any second question, Samir, or because these two seem linked, or is, two. These are the two?
These are the two, sir.
Okay, all right, thank you. So, yes, you're right. We are underfaced on wholesale. Our contribution from the wholesale channel is less than we would like, because we do need the wholesale channels, because you don't really get scale, full scale without wholesale. No sort of rhymes intended there, right? But, you know, it gives you the scale, the plants run, your trucks move quickly, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't give you pricing power, though. That's also given. So, last year, obviously, yes, through the time of demonetization, you know, we were able to continue. And actually, reasonably well, even in this year, and that's why I made the comment and I spread across channels, right? In the foods business, we continue to see a growth of about 20-odd% in our traditional trade and modern trade, right? So there has actually been a very, very good return, meaning, and that 20% is in revenue, right? So in volume, actually, the growth will be even more in, because, you know, we've also given pricing benefits, so on and so forth. So I would say all the channels other than what I call the alternate channels have performed, I would say, reasonably well. Whatever is the impact on the P&L or the underperformance, if you will, only relates to that channel, nothing else. Right? Now, going forward, are we going to pursue more in wholesale? The answer is yes. As we are able to get scale, we are able to, our plants, we are able to sell, you know, at a comparative price point without hurting the P&L, you will see a greater, our share on wholesale will increase. So let's assume today it's in the region of, say, 12 to 15%, something like that. It will certainly go up from that level as time progresses, right? I don't think we will ever reach a level where, let's say if you look back at, say, P&G, on the sachet business, I think 95% of the business was shampoos. This I'm talking 10 years ago. And in total for shampoos, about 80% of the business was wholesale. Right? I don't think we are going to get there. Neither do we want to get there with a kind of margin profile that we would like to have. But certainly it's going to be higher than what it is today. Okay?
Sir, can I just add a follow-up? I mean...
Go ahead.
So basically what I was trying to get to is that the volume growth of 0% this quarter, and this is a quarter where most of the trade channels are restocking, right? So volume growth of 0% looks pretty weak. I mean, in a quarter where we also managed with the 3% growth in a quarter of demonetization, what went wrong in this quarter? Like, what was the exceptional weakness in this quarter?
The only exception this quarter, Samir, is the alternate channel business. That's the only exception. Right? So we continue to see growth both in the traditional trade and in the modern trade. The only exception is the alternate channels.
And these alternate channels would be, sir?
As I mentioned earlier, these include CSD, CPC. These are all the channels that service government employees or ex-government employees and receive benefits prior to GST, which they don't receive today. Or they receive today, but are in the process of figuring out how they are going to work the whole system in terms of what they give to their consumers, how they get the credit from the government, all of those pieces. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
Just that, nothing else.
No.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one.
Well, if there are no more questions, we can close, yeah?
So we have a few questions come up.
Okay.
We'll take the next question from the line of Ramesh Mantri from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is regarding what do you see as the potential for ready to eat category in the popcorn business, considering that this is one of the fastest growing snacking category in the Western world in the last few years? And any innovation on new flavors and new products on the popcorn business?
Sure. Anything else, Amish?
Yeah, that's good.
That's it? Okay, good. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Ready-to-eat popcorn is the fastest-growing snacks category in the U.S. Over the last probably 5 or 6 years. And I think it will continue, it will be a rapidly growing category in India as well, right? The challenge with ready-to-eat popcorn, unlike ready-to-cook popcorn, is the supply chain, right? So what's happened is, if you look at it, because popcorn is, once it's popped, is an extremely bulky item. It is more bulky than extruded snacks. It is more bulky than tortilla chips, way more bulky than nuts, snack nuts, way more bulky than snack tea. The cost of moving stock is very, very high because you're shipping air. So what's happened, not just in the U.S., but in other parts of the world as well, there have been a lot of small players who got established on a regional basis, and these have become the dominant players, right? Along with that, there have been some other players who have had unique propositions, like Skinny Pop in the U.S., and in fact, we just closed, I think, or in the process of closing a deal with Angie's Boom Chicka Pop in the U.S. And they have created also nice-sized businesses. But it's a challenging business because the supply chain profile of ready-to-eat popcorn is very different from ready-to-cook popcorn. We have always believed that this will be a large category, and we have said that, and you can go back to conference calls 4 or 5 years ago. But we said that we would not be able to really explore this category unless we had the right plant structure. The right plant structure that we defined for RTE popcorn was 7 plants, right? We said that 7 plants will come to an average of about 300 odd kilometers close to the markets, which we need to service in, and you know, where we would like to have a strong share. And with that, we will, we will have a freight cost which will be either in very low double digit or possibly even in high single digit, which means somewhere in that 9% to 11% range. In the absence of the supply chain, it's very difficult to grow the business. Where we've now achieved is that with a 5-plant model, I think we have now reduced the freight. It used to be in the old days about as high as 28% of sales. It has now, I think, come down to about 12% of sales. So I think a high single digit or 10% is certainly viable with the 7 plants that we do. Right now, it's still a smaller business, but it's growing. But you also need to have your product price architecture, right? So I think it will be a very, very large business. It will be certainly as big as our ready-to-cook business, and in time it could be even bigger because it offers convenience, right? But we have to be careful from a company standpoint that we also get the right margin structure on this business, right? The inherently high freight, the inherently high manufacturing cost associated with it means that it is more difficult to earn margin in these categories as compared to a ready-to-cook product, right? So that's the challenge always. So to answer your question, is the category going to be big in India? The answer is yes. That's why we set up the whole supply chain, right? Is it going to happen in a day? No, but it's going to happen fast, right? Who will be the drivers of it? Hopefully, it should only be us. That doesn't mean there are no other players. There are enough local players in ready-to-eat popcorn. Many of our customers are also trying to introduce private label popcorn. Many have done it. Some have walked away because it's a very, very difficult product to do, right? But I think we are well placed to capture that opportunity. In terms of innovation on ready-to-eat popcorn, yes, flavors, new flavor profiles are all part of the game, right? We also have more spicy flavors now. As I said, we've launched caramel bliss. So we need to continue to introduce new flavors. All the new entrants who come in are going to be relying on flavors, right? The thing, however, is that it is very difficult for them to have that consistent distribution and fresh product which we can give today with the advantage of our supply chain. So it's complex, Ramesh. It's not just about flavors. You can have the flavors, but with a low shelf life product, you are not able to supply the whole country, the flavors are not going to do much for you. So flavors is one component, but the other pieces are actually probably even more important than that. Okay?
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good question. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Manish Podar from Renaissance Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a couple of questions. Continuing to the previous point which you were mentioning for ready-to-eat popcorn, just on a steady-state basis, let's say, I don't know how long would the plan you and the Sajin would take. But it's steady stated, what can be the gross and the EBITDA margins can this product clock? So this is the first question. The second is, could you allude about the competitive intensity in the oil space with Patanjali being around? Any comments on that would be helpful.
Okay. See, I'm, you know, we're still trying to figure our life out in terms of ready-to-eat popcorn. So, Manish, it's going to be very difficult for me to give you a EBITDA margin estimate on ready-to-eat popcorn. I can tell you one thing. I think it will be lower than ready-to-cook popcorn. Yeah? Okay? Because the intrinsic of freight, manufacturing costs, all of those are working against it. I think give us some more time. I don't even know whether I can give you a precise number even in, let's say, at the end of the year. But once we've got this business to a reasonable size, right, of about, 50 to 100 crores, right, I think we will also be in a better position. Okay, so we are also understanding all the different pieces. It's a brand, it's a whole new business, right? It's popcorn, but it's not the same as ready-to-cook popcorn. Okay, so that's what we are, working through. So I apologize if I'm not able to shed light on it, right? But having said that, it's an important business and it's a very scalable business. Okay, in terms of competitiveness, competitive intensity on Patanjali, it's I guess what is to be expected. One of the reasons we said we wanted to reduce our dependence on edible oils is that. It's a category with a, where barriers to entry are very low, right? And if anybody just spends money, it's possible to gain share, right? We saw some years ago that happened to us, right? Where, we had a reasonable impact on our gross margin. It took us a while to recover that, right? If you remember, when Fortune came in and they spent 60 crores in a very short period of time and they gained a lot of volume, right? Because barriers to entry are low in these categories. That's what's happening today. Only thing is the players change, right? So that time it was Fortune. This year it is Patanjali. Let me give you a context. Patanjali wasn't even in the edible oil business till FY16. And they spent 10 crores in FY16 last quarter of FY16. In last year they spent 35 crores in the whole year, right? And this year, they have already spent as of August 20 and 36, 56 crores. Okay? Emami, another new player on the block, non-existent prior to FY16, 16 crores in FY16, 14 crores in FY17, and 47 crores already in the first 5 months of the year. Okay. Now these are big spends, but that's the nature of the beast, right? And last year, let's take Fortune, which came in from a reasonably lower base. FY12 was zero. Then 13, if you remember, that's when they came in 20 crores, moved up to 36, came down to 15. FY16, 32 crores. FY17, 83 crores. And FY18 so far for the first 5 months. Around 27 crores. So you can see the trend, right? Fortune came in a couple of years ago, disrupted the market, spent a boatload of money, and now is at one level. Then in came Emami, came in with a high level of spend, and now in comes Patanjali. So it's going to be different people at different points in time, right? And this is just the national players, right? There are a lot of regional players. What this does mean is that it reduces the share of the people who are operating on the premium end of the market. Their share of voice comes down. If you take a look at the total premium end, that is basically Sapola and us, it was 21 crores in FY12, FY13, 31, FY14, 41, FY15, 36, FY16, 38, FY17, 35, and year-to-date, 27 crores. So, conceptually, if you look at FY13 or FY12, which is just 5 years ago, the premium players, which is the two of us, were 20 crores out of a total of 93 crores, right? So that's about a 20,
20%, 22% share of voice. If I look at quarter one of this year, where I'm not able to do the maths to add July and August that easily, the premium end is 18 crores out of 107 crores. Right? Okay. So, because these guys are spending a huge load of money, obviously the effectiveness of whatever we do at the premium end is not going to be as much. Right? Because these guys didn't even exist 5 years ago. And this is going to continue. So, to answer your question, yes, it's Patanjali today, but who is going to be tomorrow, right? Fortunately for us, it doesn't matter 2 months because we've defined our objectives. We have a limited amount of spending that we do on edible oils, and we are concentrating on areas where we are able to build stronger moats, where we have greater barriers to entry, and therefore in the long term, better sustainable margins. Okay?
Just a follow-up to the thing which you've just answered, it was very, very helpful. In terms of share of voice, the cumulative spend of the, the premium players, you mentioned in somewhere in the, 25-odd%. How would be the same, let's say, in the space in terms of which they occupy, let's say, in retail? Any idea, GT plus MT or, any indicative trend? How do the other three players cumulative be today versus what it was?
There are clearly a much larger number of brands today. And if you walk the modern trade store, you'll see it. We are there. Our competitors are there. But there's also private label coming in now. You'll see Patanjali, they'll be there in the racks. There's a reasonable amount of olive oil, which is commoditized. Yeah. And however, I must make one more observation. I think the absolute amount of space in a modern trade with edible oil commands today is significantly lower than what it was 5 to 10 years ago. If I had to make an estimate, this is my market working over all these years, I would say the space on edible oils has more than halved over this period. Right? So if you look at number of shelves devoted to edible oil, that is about half of what it was. So there's a huge amount of market growth, but it's obviously coming at the bottom. Right? Just like we saw in the 5 rupees snacks. There's a huge amount of market growth coming at the bottom, right? But in these modern trade stores, the answer is, I would say, shelf space is actually reduced, And, yeah.
And that would be the same for GT also?
Okay. That's the last question because, I'll be accused of being inconsistent, right? Which I don't want. So I'll take it and then we'll, either close or take the next one. I think the answer is, it's true for GT in select areas. So if you walk the city like Pune, you will find stores in a city like Pune, which is very health conscious, where oil consumption is low. You will find some stores which don't sell edible oils at all. Period. They stop selling it. So it is there, but it is less visible in GT because of the dispersed nature of the trade, right? So my guess would be that it's going to only reduce. If you guys walk the stores in the UK or the US, you find there's very little edible oil on the shelves. Very little. Of course, a lot of it is processed foods, and people consume a lot of snacks during the day. But basically, cooking comes down with increased amount of prosperity and people working very hard. As all of us work hard, and both husband and wife working, cooking comes down, and people consume less oil. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom of the pyramid is a lot of growth because there's all this loose oil which is getting converted into packaged oil, but. I don't think you can smell money there. You can make money through scale, but you can't make money too much. All right?
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
So thank you once again for taking my questions. Sir, I had a follow-up on that margins which you explained me. There are three questions. So first of all is the follow-up on margins. The margins which you give indication that overall 26% and Sundrop oil is 29%, these are what level of margins we are indicating, so that was the first one. The second is you explained about this 7 plant structure for the ready-to-eat category. So currently, we are at 5. So, just wanted to ask, do all the 5 currently manufacture the ready-to-eat popcorns? Are we there on all the 5 plants? That was second. And thirdly, the wholesale segment is around 15% or somewhere sub of that. How would alternate and retail be present, our direct share? And attached to that was, given that our product basket is increasing, is there any scope that we have a better negotiating capacity when we go to those respective channels? And will that result in either our improved working capital or improved margin? Is there a possibility?
Okay. Thank you, Mayur. That is very comprehensive. All right. So I'll answer first your question on gross margin. The gross margin, the way we define it right now, is net sales less cost of goods. Right? Cost of goods includes raw material, packing material, and manufacturing costs. It also includes primary freight to our warehouses, but it doesn't include secondary freight from our warehouses to our customers, and it doesn't include the warehousing costs. Structure that we followed over the last several years, almost 10 years. We are in the process of evaluating, and if we do that, then we'll let you know, and we'll give you the exact figure so that it's comparable at the end of this year. Possibly from next year, we will move to also taking T&W, which is secondary transportation and warehousing, above into cost, right? But at this point in time, that's not the case. All right? So that's one. So it's a little different from where you see it, because you guys take out the fixed overheads and the depreciation. You don't take it out, but we take it out before we actually calculate our margin, which is actually pretty consistent with the way US GAAP does it, and that's the way we manage the business, and that's how we report to you. In terms of the five plant structure, yes, ready-to-eat popcorn is made in all the five plants. Our dominant part of it is probably more in the four of the plants, right? But yes, we currently have capacities in all the five plants, and when we open the sixth plant in Chittoor, that will also have ready-to-eat popcorn. That is the reason why we are setting it up. We don't need seven plants to sell tortilla chips, to be honest, right? We make tortilla chips in only one plant. We probably need seven plants to sell a boatload of extruded snacks. But given the capital involved, we are happy at this point in time with only three plants and don't see any immediate increase in capital or deployment into that. Right? Given that probably our purpose is solved currently, and we are also finding even better and lower capital ways to support our distribution expansion. Some of these categories like extruded snacks are not categories where we think we are going to make a huge amount of money in the long term. But we do need the portfolio, we need the distributor turnover so that we can sell our more profitable products of nachos, peanut butter, and ready-to-cook popcorn. So there are new options emerging, which we've already made a small entry into Indian snacks. We are already selling both salted peanuts and Injera peas in just started manufacture. Under the Sundrop brand name, and we will be expanding the Indian snacks range under the Sundrop brand name to a fairly significant extent over the next 12 months. Right now, we are in the process, we've ordered machines, so on and so forth. Again, the role of that is clear. It is only to give us the distribution footprint, nothing else. But if it gives us the scale, we can get these 70%, 40% growth rates that we are currently getting on peanut butter and that snacks. And improve the ready-to-cook growth as well, which has to come through distribution. In terms of the wholesale segment, I would say a bigger portfolio does help across the board, not so much in terms of negotiation, but in terms of the guys interested in your business. If you sell just a single product line, one is the wholesaler may not be that interested. However, if he's dependent on you for 8-10 lines, so on and so forth, his interest in your business grows. He gives you more time when you make that sales call. Your distributors obviously are more interested in it, right? Because their stake and their profitability is impacted. That's how one of the reasons we've added 120 distributors in 6 months or 150 distributors. That's a big number, right? We've increased our distributors by 20% in just 6 months. If we're able to repeat that in the next 6 months, then in a single year, we would have increased it by almost 35-40%. So that's a big leap. And then if we can keep growing that is clearly the route to expanded retail distribution and town coverage, right? So I think it's negotiation, but it's not negotiation like so it would be with a large customer, right? With a larger customer, it's all going to be about brand. I think Warren Buffett said this the other day very nicely, now that he's in
involved in the craft business initially, but finally it's about the brand, right? If your brand is strong, you will have negotiating power. But I think this is a different context to negotiating power. It's not so much about negotiating power, it's more about, giving you scale. We don't have that scale right now, and we're trying to build it as quickly as we can. Okay? So thank you, Mayur, for your last question, and ma'am, just thanks everybody for, thank you for taking your time out. We appreciate it. And look forward to talking to you again. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Joshi for his closing comments.
Yeah, thanks a lot everyone for attending this call. We thank the management for giving their valuable time for this call. Thank you everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.